begun the season of vacation. So vacation has begun. So we'll see a lot of our family and friends every so often or every few weeks or here and there. And pray for them as they travel today. We'll have opportunity to pray for those that are our family members directly, but also for our church faith family that's traveling and those that are suffering. There's quite a bit. If you look at the prayer and praise, obviously we're seeing things happening in our church. We know the older we get, we talk about it all the time. What do young people struggle with? Health or wealth, usually? Wealth. What do old people struggle with? Health or wealth? Both. Yeah, it keeps going, right? It's both and both, but it's usually we spend all of our health to get wealth, and then we spend all of our wealth to fix our health. And it's the dumbest thing ever. I've never figured out why God didn't just let us be born rich, and then we could wear out and go to the dumpster together, right? So, but he has intentions. Only a couple things I want to bring to your attention. It's really hot and muggy outside, so it feels good in here today. I'm thankful for everybody that makes things happen. And that light keeps twitching on and on. Greg's replaced the bulb, replaced all kinds of different things. He tells me it's a thermal overload, and so the church might catch on fire. If it does, please. No, I'm just kidding. It's just closing itself off. You're more likely to drown at Town Creek Baptist Church than you are to ever burn. It's still in metal, but I'm not saying you can't, but I'm saying this place is sprinkled for everywhere. And I want to say one last announcement. Somebody said, you're being very ugly to your mother. So I just sat with my mom just now, and somebody asked, did you call your mom a white witch last week? I said, as an unbelieving teenager, we said she has some mystical powers. We didn't know anybody else's powers to give to, because we saw a couple of Disney movies. So that's why we gave her that title. It wasn't a condemning title. It was just like, she knew everything, and she could make things happen. If she said it, it happened. She cursed my motorcycle. It broke. The chain came off and slapped the engine and cracked the engine. She cursed my 66 Ford Fairlane. I would drive it to school and push it home. And so, no, I don't believe my mom's a white witch. I believe she had a quick line to heaven because she had crazy boys like us. And I want to honor my mother this morning in front of you before, mom's going to go on to heaven. She said, I'm getting old. Everything hurts. I was like, look, you're a 1944 version. Go to the junkyard. Look at an old Chevrolet. It's falling apart. Ruin's falling out. Gas is stoved up. It's falling apart. And then some people reminded me they were older than my mother. So, Mom, I want to tell you I love you, and I love joking. I get my sense of humor from her. My sarcasm, her. If y'all want to know where anything comes, it's obviously usually from her. And so we laugh together, and sometimes people don't understand our humor. So I want to set the record straight while you're still living. Is that an amen? All right, amen. All right. She's going to be forever living. And the crazy thing is heaven's getting both of us. So it's going to be a pretty crazy place up there. God's got a good sense of humor. Hey, let's go to Psalm 110 today. And again, I'm going to apologize before I preach because we're not even going to do this psalm justice. It's so pregnant that we're only going to be able to see a couple of births that's going to come out of Psalm 110. But you also need to take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 7. You need to actually have your hand in Hebrews because we're going to be flipping back and forth. By the way, you need to put your hand in Matthew 22. This psalm is the most quoted or most referenced psalm in the New Testament from the Old Testament. So this psalm is kind of like, if you want to say spotlight psalm, this is the messianic, the one about the Messiah that's coming. This is the psalm, okay? So I told you we had to lay the groundwork for Hebrews because your bulletin says a study through Hebrews, and we haven't even made it to Hebrews other than referencing, but we have to get the Old Testament down to find out that God was trying to say, he was signaling clearly through his word all along, I am sending my son, the Messiah, in the future. He's coming this way. What's his lineage? His lineage will be from the King David. It'll be of the lineage of David. And we're going to see the Messiah has a couple of titles, high priest, king forever. There's some titles that he's given that we're like, wait a minute, this don't match anybody of any time except for God. And we're going to even see this name. You've seen it. We've kind of hinted to it, Melchizedek. And I told you I frustrated some people and I frustrated some pastors in saying who I believe Melchizedek is. It's simply Jesus Christ, a Christophany of Christ. And some people argue, no, it can't be. It's not Christ because it says like, and you'll see that in just a moment. If you believe that he's a separate being, he has no beginning and he has no end. He has no father, no mother. So therefore it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God Melchizedek. And there's not room for him, is it? No, it's a Christophany, an appearance of Christ before he came in flesh. It's a Christophany. There's no room for a fourth person of the Godhead. You have to rationalize. You got to put that thing in the bottle sooner or later. You can't just philosophize and talk around it. You got to put it in the box or in the bottle and say what you say, right? And mean what you say. So let's look today, Psalm 110, only seven verses, but verse 1 is going to stick me, verse 2 is going to stick me, verse 3 is going to stick me, and I might not get past verse 3. So just, we'll try. We'll hush and try. All right, here we go. Psalm 110, are you there? Say amen. Amen. All right, you got to notice some words. We've been pointing out these words. I need to say this again. This is pregnant, all right, because the Jews argue. They hate this chapter. They love it, but they argue. It's going to say, the Lord said to my Lord, okay, and you know what I've said the last few weeks, we've been going through the Psalms, L-O-R-D, capitalized, is the highest name of God. We say, we sing songs, Yahweh, Yahweh, that's not the pronunciation of it. Jews won't even pronunciate the word. Messianic Jews will, but it's all, there's no vowels, it's all consonants. And so the word we use today is Jehovah, or Adonai. We talk about the highest names of God, but Jehovah is the highest name of God. And so I'm going to read it in that way so we'll have an understanding. But you should actually study that. That's not today's, we're not doing classroom lecture today. We're actually doing sermon and actually saying, what's my takeaway? Because that's a lot of stuff to learn, but there's a lot of stuff to take away from this Bible passage, okay? So the highest name of God, the Lord, L-O-R-D capitalized, says to my Lord. And if you have an NIV, I think it has, NIV is the only translation that we found out this morning in our Bible class that has it correct. So the word is Adonai, all right? Not Adonai. The Lord said to my lowercase Lord, like Lord of England or Lord of Greenland or the master of the property, all right? Got the idea? But the scholars, the NASB, the New King James, King James, they capitalized L-O-R-D, Adonai. And so you'll see why. Why did they actually say, does it actually say, the highest name of God, Yahweh, says to a Lord, L-O-R-D, lowercase, and he tells him what his instructions are. You're going to see where he's going to sit. He's going to place him somewhere. Or if you keep reading, the text says, wait a minute, that can't be a separate L-O-R-D, man, Lord. It's got to be capital L-O-R-D, Adonai, not Adonai. We'll show you in just a minute. All right, I know that scrambled your eggs just a little bit, but let me, as I read it, I want you to see God, the highest name of God is talking to someone. If we can figure out who the someone is, we can figure out the passage of Scripture. And we already know ahead of time the someone, spoiler alert, is Jesus. Okay, let's go. All right. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, said to my Lord, and in my Bible says capital L-O-R-D, they went ahead and jumped ahead and gave you the reference. But it's lowercase, Adonai. Sit at my right hand. Okay, now we're going to play musical chairs. If it's just a man, L-O-R-D, because the Jews will argue, no. Psalm 108, Psalm 109, Psalm 110, they all go together. And Psalm 108, the Jews will say, yes, this is a song, a psalm of David. Because even your Bible, look at your Bible, your heading in your Bible. It should say a psalm of David. Does it say it in your Bible? To the chief musicians, a psalm of David. That's what 109 says. And that's part of the Hebrew language. They actually don't start, it doesn't start, their verse one is that. We just put it as a heading, and it's our verse one is their verse two. You understand? So a psalm of David would be a Hebrew understanding. David wrote this psalm. So 108, no problem, a psalm of David. They go, aha, a psalm of David. Go to Psalm 109. Yes, correct, a psalm of David. Then when they get to Psalm 110, they said, wait a minute, there's a difference of word. It's a psalm for David. So some Jewish rabbis have tried to say, this is God talking about David, L-O-R-D. We're going to see that's not right, can't fit in. We'll see that as we develop this. But does everybody understand? So there's this argument, if you don't want to accept Jesus as the Messiah, saying the New Testament has corrupted that, you have to go back to the Hebrew Scriptures and say, wait a minute, it doesn't really mean that. And you got to play Jenga with the Scriptures and pull out which ones and put in what you don't want. Do you understand? So you got to accept it the way it's written, or you have to modify it. And we're going to take it the way it's written, the way it was intended by God, because we'll see, who does the Lord say, highest name of God, sit at my right hand? The Lord Jesus. We'll see. We'll read that in Hebrews, where he's sitting today. He's at the right hand of the Father. If there's anyone else, that if it's David, David had to get up and scoot over. Now Jesus says that right at the right hand. Some even say it's Abraham, because he references Melchizedek. Okay, now they got to get over. And now there's three seats to the right of God. That's not God. He doesn't play musical chairs. He's not a God of misunderstanding. He's a God of clarity. So let's read the text as it lies there. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord, capital Jehovah, shall send the rod, and your Bible might say, in a better translation, NIV got this right as well, scepter. It's going to extend a scepter as a king's scepter. Your Bible might say rod or your strength. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people, in the italicized there means it was added, so for clarity, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power and the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. You have the dew of your youth. The Lord, Jehovah, has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord, Adonai, is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head. Let's pray for clarity because there's a lot of stuff here. Again, don't want to make this a class, but we got to read the scripture and reference the scripture so we can actually see what is God trying to say. And when you get to the end of all of this, the sermon title is simply this: The Lord, Jehovah, said to my Lord. And we're going to see what he has to say. And if he has something to say about himself, he has something to say to you and me today. He has something for us to take away today as we walk out of this place. Let's pray. Father God, in your precious and holy name, Lord, we want to do, obviously, a service to the Word of God because it is what it is. It's your Word, your holy Word. Help me to speak it, obviously, properly, but also, Lord, help us to understand and have a takeaway today as we leave this place better than we came in, more informed and ready for action to do your good work as we leave this place. In the blessed holy name of Jesus, we pray for his sake. Amen. If you have notes, who did not get a bulletin? You need a bulletin today because obviously you're going to be able to follow this. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand. Our guys in the back will jump up and bring you one. If you need one, just slide your hand up. Anybody need one? No, a couple over here. All right. So this is important for you to actually have this. I want to show you this morning. There's an extra back there. Let me read the first paragraph and look at it with me, if you would. Have you ever prayed and said, God, I just want you to speak to me? You ever said that? Lord, I got a situation. Lord, I'm in a crisis. Lord, I'm in panic mode or financial, as we talked about, or our health, as we talked about at the beginning. Lord, I just want you to speak to me. Often we wait looking up to the sky for a sign. Have you ever done that? Lord, we read the story of the Old Testament. We're like, I'm just going to put out a fleece. Has anybody ever said that? That's how I used to say it. I'm just going to lay a fleece out. Gideon, right? Lord, in the morning, if it's wet and dry on the bottom, I know you spoke. And then we come to that very fleece, and then we go, oh, can we just flip it over, Lord? Can you do it opposite tomorrow? That way I'll know that you spoke, Lord. And then when he speaks, we're like, did Lord really speak, or did it just rain last night, or did dew set in? So be careful. Don't just ask God for a sign. What is the sign for your answer? His holy scripture. This is the answer to your prayer. Well, does God know my prayers today? This scripture is at least 2,000 plus 3,000 years old or more. Can God speak from 3,000 years ago to today in the 21st century to my situation where I live at my zip code? Does God know what's going on in my head? Does God know what's going on in my heart? Does God know what's going on in my community, my country, wherever you might be? Does God know? Yes, and he wants to answer your question. God speaks. So here we have a word where the Lord said to my Lord. Okay, we have God speaking, right? The highest name of God, Jehovah, speaking. So God has something to say. Who's he speaking with? And who's he speaking to? That's important. Is he speaking to you and me? Well, not directly, but the answer is indirectly, he's speaking to you and me. What does he want you to know that he wanted the Jewish people to know, that he wanted David to know? If they got to know, he let us in on a secret. We have the book printed for us. You carry a book or you carry it on your phone or tablet. You have the very words of God. Now watch this. If you're praying, Lord, my situation is X, Y, Z, and only you and I know about it, Lord, and if you don't do something, it's not going to happen. Does God already know what he's going to do and how he's going to do it and the outcome in the future? Does he know it? Well, then that's when we get frustrated with God. Let's continue. I want you to see this. When nothing happens, we may walk around, walk away thinking God must be busy, or worse, we might misinterpret something as ordinary as a drifting cloud to assume it's a sign from God. You ever done that? Lord, just give me a sign. And all of a sudden, something happens. It might be a sign of a cloud. Looks like, oh, there's an elephant. God wants me to go to Africa and be a missionary. Right? Be careful. Don't look for signs in God's creation. Look to God to speak to your heart from his word. The Holy Spirit is clear on what he wants to say to you and to me. Don't look for a sign. Unless it says stop, then do that. All right. But the truth is, God is speaking today, and he speaks clearly primarily through the written word. If you get counsel, what kind of counsel should you get from another person? Godly counsel. Make sure it's from the Word. Christian counseling today looks nothing like the Bible oftentimes. We have counselors in our town telling people, listen, I wouldn't stay together if I was you. I would divorce. And then people come to me saying, we were recommended to divorce. What say you? I turn around and say, what say Scripture? Right? Because in and of myself, I might give you bad advice, or I'm friendly, or if we're friends, I might say, listen, remember I told you where I'm from, Pauline, South Carolina. If somebody says, I tell you what I do, it's usually wrong. Because it's out of arrogance or out of cockiness or out of being that man of somebody who knows what don't know what to do, but they'll tell you what to do. And they would never do that in a million years. But they will say, I'll tell you what I do. I want to ask you this morning, listen, when you have a decision to make, do you ever go to the Word of God and say, God, what do you want me to do? And God don't want you to just flip through the Scripture willy-nilly. He wants you to sit before Him and say, Lord, what should I do? Lord, I'm going to open my Bible and just pray, Lord, what Scripture should I go to? And listen, He'll show you. It didn't just Scripture memory pop in your mind. He'll let you sit before Him and read some things that He wants you to enjoy Him, not just use Him as a glorified Santa Claus up in heaven saying, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. He's not going to just answer your question because you asked it. Right? He wants you to actually grow and mature as you go through the process, because guess what? My friends and my brothers and my sisters, my lost friends, you're going to go through bigger problems on down the road. Every time something new comes, it's going to get harder and harder, and you won't know which way to go. But God's Word knows which way He wants you to go. God knows what He wants you to do, and He'll show you. Let's look at this and look at your notes. One powerful example of this is found here in Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make... And this is something God's doing. He's not creating anymore. He's making your enemies a footstool for your feet. This is very specific. The verse reveals a divine conversation between God the Father and God the Son. Because we're going to say, well, how do you know that? Let's go and look and see. It points to the exaltation of Jesus, who will one day, from this point, reign physically as king in Jerusalem. His kingship will be how long? Everlasting to everlasting, fulfilling the promise record recorded in 2 Samuel 7:13. That was of David's lineage. There will always be someone on the throne. Well, has Jesus, in your best knowledge, has Jesus ruled and reigned in Jerusalem forever yet? Is He sitting on the throne? Can I get a ticket to Israel today and go see Jesus? He's King of Kings, but has He ruled over physically? This is a physical ruling over. Has He ruled over Israel, Jerusalem today, of any time that you know of? The answer is, some people would say, well, from history, they'll take portions of Scripture and say yes. But listen, my understanding is He hasn't ruled yet. He has a time that He will be sitting on throne. There'll be a time of peace. But listen, even if we get the millennial disagreement, like there's a 1,000-year reign of Christ, Revelation says 5 or 6 times, how about all of eternity? What's coming out of heaven? If we could say, well, that's mystical or illustration or whatever it might be. Have you ever heard of the new Jerusalem coming from heaven? And who's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Jesus Christ is. So this is actually a future looking. This is something that's going to happen. This is of the lineage of David. You say, well, how does that fit in? Let me invite you, we don't have time to read them because it's going to be a lot of begats. But go to Matthew chapter 1. If you want to understand, Matthew was trying to tell the Jewish people, Jesus Christ is the King, and I want to show you why He's King. And he goes through and he points out things throughout all of Jesus' life, saying it was told that He was coming. He gives us a snapshot of His birth, and he goes through and he shows us all these different things that Jesus did that the Messiah had to do. And we understand even when Pontius Pilate had Him nailed to the cross, the placard he put above His head, it says, this is Jesus the what? King of the Jews. This is the King of Kings. And we know that the Pharisees and scribes argued, saying, don't say He's the King of the Jews. Say He said He was the King of the Jews, right? Don't put it up there in 3 different languages that He's the King of the Jews. We don't agree with that. But did they really in their heart agree that He was the King of the Jews? In their heart, did they really know that He was the Messiah? Because Nicodemus tells us, he gives us that. I told you that snapshot in John chapter 3. Nicodemus says, we know that You're from God from all the attesting miracles that You're doing. We know. He was speaking on behalf of the whole council that's saying, there's no way we can deny this, guys. This man is healing the sick. He's making blind see. Deaf can hear. He's raising people from the dead. The devil can't do that, all the things that he's doing. He's got to be from God. But what do we do? if he's from God, if he's the Messiah, that means we're going to lose our jobs. And we can't lose our jobs. That means we lose our income. If we lose our income, we lose our prestige in society. We lose everything that we know that we've lived by. And the teachings of the rabbis were obviously the teachings of traditions. They had come into the place that they no longer followed the Mosaic law. They never looked back to, they made up their own stuff as they do today. There's oftentimes they'll make up stuff today. How does a Jewish man and woman get forgiveness? It's through sacrifices. Where do sacrifices have to happen? At the temple. What's happened for the last 2,000 years since Jesus came and left this place? And the temple was destroyed in AD 70. No Jewish man or woman has ever made a sacrifice in the temple because the temple does not exist. So what have they done for all this time? Well, rabbis, you got to fill in. If you don't believe Jesus was the fulfillment, you got to fill it in and make something up. You got to tell the people, hey, there's a chapter 5. Okay, let's switch to chapter 5, and I'll make it up. Chapter 5 is just pray prayers and just give alms. Just give. And that's the way that you can actually please God, and you'll be right with God. Just pray prayers and say alms. Sacrifice of your money, sacrifice of your time, and you'll see men standing at walls, sticking little papers in the wall all day long. They'll be doing this, right? Have you seen it? And they'll pray and they'll do different things, and that way they think they're right with God. The Lord, since Adam, has always required the blood of something that's living to be the sacrifice. In the Old Testament, it was a covering of your sins. That's why you had to constantly do, God, I need to offer this sin. I need a sin offering. I need to offer it. The high priest even had to offer for the nation. But Jesus comes along and says that he actually is pointing to him that he's the Messiah. He's the high priest once and done. Done and for all. Once Jesus, the Lamb of God, he was sacrificed for your sins and for mine, it was done. No longer a covering of your sins, but a taking or snatching away of your sins. When you confess yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. I believe that God, Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was dead. I believe you raised him again on the third day, and I believe he's alive forevermore. Would you come and save my soul? Something in those orders, listen, Romans 10 tells us to say to the Lord, I want you to forgive me. Would you forgive me? I believe what you did on the cross was for my sins. The Lord doesn't go, this is the exact word you have to say. It's what happens within your heart and you're confessing back to God. When you do that, listen, he says you shall be saved. For with your mouth you confess, and it's with your heart that you believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. When you tell him that, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that a beautiful thing? There's no more animals to kill. There's no more rituals to do. It's actually, listen, just trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but what? To trust and obey. But there's certainly got to be work to do. Oh, but there is. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 tells us very clearly. You were saved by his grace. He puts it out there first. It's like putting butter in the dish or whatever you're cooking on, whatever you're doing. Get that laid down there, right? Putting the first things first. That's God's grace through faith. Guess where grace comes from? God. Guess where faith comes from? God. Guess where the breath that you're breathing comes from? God. Guess where the resources you have today to get here and go home and eat, guess where they come from? God. God has a plan for our lives. God loves you today. He's not mad at you. God loves you, but he wants you to live for him, trusting and obeying him. I want you to go back and look at this, and we've said this before. As we've talked before, the phrase, the Lord says to my Lord, uses two different Hebrew words for Lord. This is important, and it took up a lot of note space, and I didn't like putting it on here, but I want you to see this. That one that we say mispronounced Yahweh, the letters of God, Jehovah, is God's covenant name revealed to Moses when he said, who do I tell them that send me, Lord? And he says, I am sent you. I am. God was calling himself the greatest of the greatest there. Adonai, not Adonai, Adonai means Lord or Master. So we say he's the Lord of Kensington, or he's the Lord of this land. That's a lowercase L, and it just means he's the master of that property. He's in charge of that property. We still use that terminology sometime today. When David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote, Yahweh or Jehovah says to my Adonai, a prophetic reference to the coming Messiah. He was looking, because it's going to say more than one time in Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, or the Lord is speaking, and he's going to connect the two. The actual God can't change the Father, right? The Jehovah can't change. And he's speaking of himself. He's speaking of the Son. Even Hebrew scholars obviously understand the Psalms are saying that the Messiah is coming and that God has a son that he's sending. Why does he say a son? Isn't Jesus God? The answer is Jesus is God. You go back and read in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When he created mankind, you and me, let us make man in our image. In John chapter 1, we see obviously Jesus speaking, everything was made. Listen, everything that was made how? By him and through him. Everything. So we come to this passage and say, wait a minute, what is he saying here now? Go back to your scripture, if you will, verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod or your staff or your scepter, that's exactly right, out of your strength, out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. I want you to look at something, if we could, and let's look at some of the scriptures. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, because obviously this is what we're setting it for, is to get into Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and I don't have this in your notes, but Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Look how it starts, almost just like Genesis 1 starts, how the Bible begins. It's kind of a wrap-up. Who is this writing to? Not a guy who's making coffee, that's always the joke, Hebrews. It's actually writing to the people, it's kind of a wrap-up of, this is the whole thing from the beginning to what the Lord's going to do. It's scholars, messianic rabbis say, if you were going to actually have, if Hebrews is the sermon, Psalm 110 is the text. You have to go back to Psalm 110 to get through Hebrews. You're going to see it. Let's see it together. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Are you there? Say amen. How's it start in your Bible? Long ago, our God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. That's important to know. Look this way. God spoke to the prophets, to the fathers. And when you wanted to speak back to God, guess what you had to do? The man, the fathers, had to speak to the priest back to God. See the pattern? God to the prophet to the man to the priest to God. It was a chaotic system, and then all the other sacrifices, and somebody told me they haven't forgotten about sacrificing their little fluffy lamb that I talked about during Easter, and somebody's like, our family still talks about it. No longer sacrificing your pet lamb anymore. Here we are, watch what happened. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in the time past to the fathers by the prophets. What's he done? Has in these last days spoken to us how? By his son. Who's his son, church? Say his name. Jesus, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, that he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the where? At the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Well, go back to verse 1 there again, and top of verse 2. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Does Hebrews actually complement Psalm 110? Or, listen, the Jewish people say, no, they just made that up. The New Testament's corrupt. The writer of Hebrews corrupted it just to make it sound like that. Did God say that? You got to take it, and this is where your faith comes into play, because it says, the Lord said to my Lord, did the Lord put David at his right hand? David's where today, by the way, just for the record. David's dead. I don't know if you know that. He's been gone 3,000 years. David is dead. You need to say that to yourself. David is dead, right? Now, he's living. His soul is with God. So he's with God today. But David, his physical body is dead. David's not sitting at the right hand of God. David, as a matter of fact, didn't even have a body today. Who's the only people in heaven with a body? Okay, we got some controversy there. So what about Enoch, right? He was, all right. What about Elijah? We're not fully sure, because they were, right? They were no more, and one was taken by chariot of fire. But we know for sure that Jesus has a body. He has his new glorified body, like you and I are going to get, but he's in heaven with a body. And I talk about other denominations because I have to learn and understand, but our Catholic friends believe that Mary has a body in heaven. She does not. Mary had to come by the way of the cross like you and me. Yes, she physically saw it. Yes, she gave birth to the Savior. Yes, she's blessed among women, but she had to receive Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She had to believe on the very child that she gave birth to for the Savior to be the Savior of her sins. She had to believe like you and I have to believe. Jewish people have to believe like you and I believe. Muslim people have to believe like you and I believe. And it's not just our belief. Where do we get our beliefs from? It comes again by, when I started this message, it comes from where? By the very holy word of God. What does God say? And if God speaks clearly, guess what we do? We have to obey clearly. And it's by faith. Where does our faith come from? From the same source that gave us the word. You say, well, that sounds like circular reasoning. Call it what you will, but the Bible is very clear. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except how? By me. Not church attendance, not baptism, not rituals, not rites. You have to come by the way of the cross. You must come by the way that there was a blood path. And the Bible says, listen, coming that way, some people won't accept it. Said, it's too hard. It sounds gross. I'm not going to do anything that involves blood. I don't want to. Even in Jesus' day, they're like, oh, are you saying eat your body and drink your blood? That's gross. We're walking away. And many disciples fell off and walked away from Jesus. So this Jesus we're talking about, the path, he said himself in Matthew chapter 7, the way to Jesus Christ, to heaven, is narrow. And there's only a few people on this path compared to the number of people that's lived. The way to destruction is a broad way, the Bible says. Even in Hollywood, where's the stars? The stars of, they take the word, the stars of Broadway. And it's full of sin, and it's full of debauchery. It's full of all the negative things and opposite things of God in this world. The Broadway is the easy way to go to. Listen, you can go to church in the Broadway. You can live life in the Broadway. You can have a tattoo of a cross on your chest, your whole body saying, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? That's the Broadway of trying to advertise a religion. Jesus was advertising, if you will, or telling you about a relationship that you must be born again. As a picture, he gives the picture of a mother giving birth. The flesh gives birth to flesh. And the Spirit, in John chapter 3, the Spirit must give birth. How? Via the Spirit. When God speaks to your heart and says, you know what? You might make fun of this. You might actually think it's comedic. You might actually think this is what Baptist preachers are supposed to say. But Jesus tells us no matter where we're from, there's only one way to heaven. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe upon him for salvation. That's the only way. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, join the crowd. None of us did. Guess what we love the most? We love our sin and our way. Whatever makes us happy, whatever way that we say, that's what I like because that's how I am. That's just who I am. That's how I am. You ever said that or had somebody say that to you? That's just who I am. God's going to have to accept me just the way I am. Brother says, let me tell you something. God's not going to change or bow his knee to you ever. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess, whether in heaven, on earth, or under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. You say, well, I'm not going to believe. You will bow your knee one day. Let me just tell you, if you're hard-headed and you're lost going to hell, you will bow your knee sometime in the future, and you will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God and hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. It's a serious thing to mess around with the word of God, to hear the truth and then walk away from the truth. It is a very serious and dangerous thing. Let's continue. I want you to see this. The New Testament confirmed this truth. Jesus is God. The writers of Hebrews clearly affirmed the divinity of Christ. Additionally, Jesus himself referenced this very passage to confront and silence the Pharisees. Watch this, what he asked. How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? Look at Matthew 22 with me. Let's go there in the New Testament. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Didn't know I'd get here this quick, but we'd get here fast and we'll finish through it. The Pharisees have come to Jesus. The scribes have come to him. And they're all trying to shut him down. They're bringing the best of the best. And he talks about the first and greatest commandment. They want to throw it out there. What's the best? Remember, there's over 600 commandments. And they're saying, okay, Jesus, if you are who you say you are, what's the best commandment? And that's what we understand today. It's simple with our fingers, right? Number one is what? Love God first. All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We know that. Love him. Put God number one. Number two is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? It runs together. That's God's plan. He silenced them on that when they were trying to argue with him over that. Then he transitions to verse 41. Look what he says. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. Can you imagine me to ask a question about Jesus? God is asking you a question. It's kind of like reading Job and God asking Job, where does the snow store? Where is Leviathan? All the different things that God smacked Job. If you want a good laugh sometime and a good reality check, read Job 38. God just, he's punching Job with his words, and Job's like, I can't say nothing. Well, here's the Pharisees. These are the men who had to have the first five books of the memorized, the Torah, right? They had to have it memorized. They had to know it. They're walking around with their chest poked out. They have the nicest clothes. They're in the nicest places. Everybody respects these guys because if they were on the street, you'd have to get out of their way because these are the men. They were politically and religiously connected, and they were the ones who ran the show. Now they're here at Jesus. They're trying to throw their best, their brightest at Jesus. And here he comes and asks them a question. While the Pharisees were gathered together, verse 41, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about Christ? Whose son is he?" Okay, let's pause for a second. Whose son is he? He's the Son of God. But he's also the Son of Man. All right, what's this? Let's continue. They said to him, "The Son of David." Now they're going back here. They don't teach this, but they're reaching back that the Messiah is coming through the lineage of our king, old King David. The lineage is coming through. Was that a true statement? Was he the son of David? Yes, the son of our great, 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 great grandson of the lineage of David. Yes, he was. They were correct. They were correct. Let's continue. They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then does David, King David, in the spirit," don't forget that part, "call him Lord, Adonai, saying, the highest name of God, Jehovah, said to my Adonai, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." And your Bible should have a little reference there to tell you that's going back to Psalm 110. He asked this question, "If David then calls him Lord, Adonai, God, now how is he his son?" 20 questions right here, right? Here we go. Verse 46, like us today, "And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore." Had nothing to say to him. They're saying, "Yes, he's the son of David." And the Lord said, "Yeah, that's right." Who was higher than the king of Israel in Israel at the time of David? Who was higher than David as king in Israel during David's day? Had to be God, because no king's going to share authority. There's no king or there's no other title above King David other than God. So the picture there in Psalm 110 is the Lord says to King David's Lord, listen, the high point, the one you have to respond to, David's turning and saying, "I understand this." David himself is writing this, saying, "The Lord said to my Lord," right? Not my son. David saw, or whatever, how God gave him this word. David understood that his lineage was, there was a day coming that the Messiah was coming. David knew he wasn't the Messiah. How did David know? David didn't even get to build the temple of God because he was a man of blood. How could he be the Messiah? How could he sit at the right hand of the Father? So no matter how many people argue against this passage, David knew that God was talking about God. God was looking forward messianically into the future of the Messiah, recognizing that the Messiah was coming through his lineage. Yes, he knew that, but he knew this very passage was messianic to the point of actually prophesying that Jesus was coming. And here today, you and I get to look back to Jesus's day and say, wow, that is true. And then we even get to look back and see King David's day. So we go back 3,000 years going, wow, amazing that God wrote a plan in Psalm 110. Jesus quotes it. The writer of Hebrews quotes it. And we can see as plain as day that the Messiah was Jesus Christ, was intended to be Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ fulfilled all the law and prophets. The Messiah was and is Jesus Christ. Isn't a beautiful thing to think about? I know it's complicated, and it's like, well, you lost me. I'm just going to tell you, Jesus is God. And he died for your sins. He rose again. God raised him again the third day. And if you believe on him, if you put your faith and trust in him, if he moves your heart to accept him, listen, you too can be saved. That's the good news. That's why we preach what we preach. Don't have time for the other scriptures, but I put them there for you. Hebrews 1:8 through 13 talks about more about Christ. It actually quotes the scripture directly again. Finally, moreover, God made an unbreakable oath that Jesus is both high priest and king forever according to the order of Melchizedek. What do we see Melchizedek? Genesis 14. Go back and look for yourself. You can read that on the day that you want to read when he has an encounter with Abraham. Hebrews 4:14. We need to read that. We can't leave here without reading that. I might get in trouble for not reading that passage of scripture. Let's read it together. With myself, not with any, God's not mad at me. Hebrews 4:14. You there, say amen. Church and friends, listen, if you're not a Christian today, don't miss this. If you're going through rituals and you're like, I got to do this or this or this, my church requires me to do X, Y, Z, I've got to do these works. Can I tell you, listen, it's by grace through faith that you've been saved. God says, take my burden upon you. And listen, my burden is light. Amen? Once we do that, he says, now that you're actually in grace, you're in relationship with me, now I have work for you to do. But the work that you're going to do is the work that I have designed for you, because you're my workmanship. You're going to do the work that I have designed especially for you, your body, your mind, for you. It's not for someone else. If you're a lady, you might have the same type of job as a man. Typically, we understand this. Well, we used to understand this in America, but we don't quite understand anymore. A man typically is stronger than a woman. A man can compete at a higher level than a woman when it comes to actually the same exercise. If not, you don't see women trying to get into men's sports very often, right? Let women come into the NFL, what's going to happen? They're going to be obliterated in just a moment. They want to come in as referees, right? I don't even like that because, I mean, if you didn't play the game, you don't get to ref the game. That's just my opinion, right? That's a man's game. Sorry, ladies. You can throw stuff at me later. But men don't do things women do, right? Listen, there's ways of thinking things. We laughed this morning as Adrian was sharing with me, Barbara was sharing with me some things. When we talk about, listen, when we say like this, a good example is, hey, you know what? We need to get in the gym because we're starting to get stiff. What are the lady here? You're overweight. You need to get in shape, right, ladies? Sometimes you hear things that men don't say, so that husbands don't say. It's getting quiet in here. Listen, where's Wendy? I need my protection, right? Men are different than women, would you agree? We're different. That's why we have what we have today of crossing things up. Satan always seems or tries to confuse. God's made it clear there's male and there's female. Today it's like, you can be anything you want to be, sweetheart. We had someone actually interview at our school, and I interviewed with parents, and the dad and mama said, hey, you didn't put if you got a young boy or young girl on your application. I think I've shared this with you before. And they said, we want them to decide what they're going to be. I said, why in the world would you come to a Baptist church, to a Christian school, to a Baptist preacher, and think that any of us in our right minds are good with that? My biggest issue is, I'm sorry that God let you have a child. I'm sorry that you were able to conceive a child and bring a child into the world. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Well, we're not going to discipline our kid like that. Well, foolishness is still in their heart. And guess what you're going to do when you have foolishness in your heart? What kind of decisions will you make? Foolish decisions. And then you'll get to the point about you don't know who you are, you're confused. And listen, by the way, if you're confused, we do have some medical personnel here. We can tell you really quick if you're a boy or a girl. We can. It's not hard at all. And if you're confused mentally, listen, we have some counselors in the church as well. God made male, God made female. Listen, the lineage of God, listen, in Jeremiah, I was reading through the book of Jeremiah, they're praying to, the pagans got so crazy, they're praying to the goddess of heaven. Did you know she's mentioned in the Bible? The goddess of heaven. He's like, oh, I'm more interested in that than I am about Jesus. Don't be, because it's a pagan deity is what they're praying to. Satan will always allow you to confuse your mind and get you so confused you don't know which way to go. And God's trying to say, listen, no. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. I'm sitting on my throne, and I'm waiting to make intercession for you. You give your heart and life to me as I said so through the word. And when you receive me, listen, follow through in obedience. When you're baptized, you being obedient, not salvation, you're obedient to God. And then you read the word, you're obedient to God. You're giving financially to the Lord's work. You're being obedient to God. Why does he want all those things from us? Because he loves us, and he wants us to express love back to him, and it's reciprocal. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that a beautiful picture of God? Listen, if you're a Christian today, listen, you can't outrun him, you can't get behind him, you can't drag your feet slow enough. God's with you always. Paul even went further and says, what can separate us from the love of God? He asked all these things, height, depth, angels, principalities, demons. He goes down a whole list. He says, listen, I am more than confident, right? I'm a conqueror. I'm an overcomer through Christ who loves me. It's who can take me from the hand of God? The answer is no one. Listen, so when you pray today, you don't need to come see me and pray to me. Like, and I say, oh, you know, and I know this, I'm not mocking, but fallible men are sitting in boxes today telling people are confessing their sins in black boxes. Fallible men are saying, go do this many prayers, punishing you with prayers and a piece of jewelry. And once you finish that, your sins are forgiven. Can I tell you, I nor any other man on this planet can forgive your sins. I can forgive you for crossing me up, right? Will you forgive me? Yes, I will. I'll forgive you from my standpoint. But no man on this earth can forgive your sins. There's only one man that's ever lived, and his name was Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he rules and he reigns in heaven, and he's sitting with the Father to the right hand of the Father, waiting for him to make intercessions for you and me. So when I pray today, yes, I go to a priest. I beat my way to the priest. I might go into a dark closet because I want to talk to him quietly, but I confess to him, Lord Jesus Christ, my high priest, my King of kings, my Lord of lords, I got this situation, and would you forgive me? And guess what he says 100% of the time? Listen, y'all, this is pretty cool. Clint, I already forgave you on the cross. When you accepted me as your Lord and Savior, forgiven forever. You say, man, I can sin tomorrow so that I can be forgiven already? Romans 6 says, God forbid, don't go out and try to sin so that you can say, well, grace abounds. Don't use God as a cheap toy, but stand before God and say, listen, God, you're so good. I've already been forgiven. Why do I confess my sins now then to him? It's because he wants me to say about my sin what he thinks and says about my sin. Lord, I wronged you. Help me to get back in right with you, right relationship, fellowship, step by step with you. He's our high priest waiting to make intercession for us. We're going to talk about Melchizedek here in the near future. Finally, Jesus is the eternal mediator between God and man, the final authority, and the soon returning king who will establish his physical kingdom on earth. And listen, if you don't even believe in that, he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, and he will be with us how long? If you're a Christian, forever. As little kids say, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And little kids like to get hung up on that. I love it. I have a little kid talking about how long forever is. It's forever and forever and forever and forever. And like, okay, that's enough. And no, it's not, right? Because it's forever and it keeps going. Guys, listen, we got an awesome opportunity from this Old Testament passage to the Hebrews to Jesus himself. Throughout the Bible, we have this picture. He's our high priest. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, as Revelation says. And he waits to make intercession for you. Can you get the picture? I don't know how you grew up, don't know your situation, but can you get the picture that he loves you? He loves you. He loves you. Would you reciprocate and love him back? All you have to do, if he speaks to your heart, say, Lord, I don't know for sure that I've ever given my heart and life to you. Would you forgive me and come into my heart and life? And the answer is yes. You know why? Because he loves you. He's not mad at you. And if you're a Christian today and listen to you say you've been disobedient to God, simply where you're at, say, Lord, would you forgive me? And guess what he says? Yes, go and sin no more. Don't do that again. Get away from that sin. It's hurting you and it's hurting my name. Don't hurt me and don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt your family. Love me, trust me, obey me, and I'll be with you forever. Walk with me. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you today as we have privilege and opportunity to stand before you, to tell you that we love you and tell you, Lord, we have failed so many times. But Lord, you're not in heaven. You're not the glorified scorekeeper in heaven. You've paid the price. The victory has been won by the victor, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we would simply, Lord, give our hearts and lives to you, if we simply understand that we're on Team Jesus and you've won the victory, what do we have to fear? Sometimes it's guilt, other people's words, but Lord, you tell us we've been made free. We're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you help those of us in the room that maybe there's some people struggling walking in redemption, walking in that grace of understanding who you are. Give them understanding. From old, you said that you would be the high priest forever. From old, you said that you'd be the king forever. From old, you said you would be in the place where, Lord, you intercede on our behalf because you are the great Messiah. You are Jesus the Christ. Father, whatever name, whatever titles we use that's in Scripture for you, they're all beautiful words describing who you are. Your names are wonderful. We praise you this morning. But Lord, if there's somebody here today that has never given their heart and life to Jesus Christ, maybe they've never heard before, or maybe they've heard and never responded because they were embarrassed or hurt or scared or whatever it might be, Lord, let us be set free today because your word says if Jesus sets us free, we will be made free indeed. Thank you so much, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. We praise you. We bless you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.